It's hard for me to hear the words in our gospel this morning of James and John and not picture a pair of boys trying to gain approval for something that they anticipate that their parents don't really want to give them. Okay, before we tell you what we want you to say yes. Just trust us. Life has taught me to be wary when folks want me to agree to what they want before they're willing to share the details. When someone says, I'm not going to tell you the details up front, but just trust me, give me what I want, I tend to put on my skeptical spectacles. Mark reveals for us in the anger and indignation of the other disciples that what the sons of Zebedee are asking of Jesus is for Jesus to grant them power and privilege, honor and authority, special benefits for themselves over the rest. We want to sit at your sides in your glory. And we miss, because of how our lectionary is set up, that these verses come just on the heels of Jesus telling his disciples for the third time, very explicitly, that what they are about is that they're headed towards Jerusalem, where he is going to be handed over to the authorities, insulted, humiliated, tortured, and ultimately killed before rising again 3 days later. And this is what James and John ask of him. I feel like I hear Jesus saying in this, fellas, if you're expecting this task that we're undertaking to end with positions of worldly power and privilege, you're sadly mistaken. You know, he tells them, whoever wishes to be great must be a servant. Whoever wishes to be first must be slave to all. Jesus is telling his disciples that the way of Christ flips the order of society on its head. That if you wish to be great, you must serve. If you wish to be first, you must make yourself last. Place yourself at the absolute bottom rung of the ladder of power and authority and privilege. And if that reversal, that last becoming first and first becoming last, sounds familiar, you may recall earlier in Mark, we heard about Jesus interacting with a rich individual, telling him to give all he had away, to sell it, give it to the poor, and follow him. That Jesus again said there, the first will become last, the last shall be first. And I have to wonder, as he continues to layer in this idea for his disciples, for his followers, if what Jesus is saying to that rich man, what Jesus is saying this morning to James and John, saying to us, his followers here today, is that whatever it is that you have, that you cling to, whatever it is that you want, that you desire, that you think is what you need in this life, that if any of those things, any of those desires are something that is going to elevate you above other people, that is going to insulate you from the needs and concerns of vulnerable people in your community, that's the stuff that's holding you back from experiencing the life that God desires for you. That these things that we think we want are empty wells distracting us from the abundant life in the wellspring of God's grace found in caring and compassionate community. Now, James and John, they want good stuff for themselves. They want the good life. They see how the world works, and they know from their experience that people who wield power and authority are able to protect what they have, protect their own interests, and get what they want. And so the brothers are going before their teacher, their leader, and saying, we would like you to elevate us to positions in your hierarchy, in this order that we expect you to be forming, because that's all we've seen, that's all we know in this world. That we want to be sitting at your right and your left. And yet Jesus tells them they don't know what they're asking for. And he points his followers again to see that when our lens of focus turns towards ourself, towards our own rewards, our own position and privilege and power and comfort, rather than the needs of people around us, that we're missing the boat on God's intention and design for our lives and for our community. Which for me begs the question, do we want what God desires to give us. Do we really believe that God is good and desires to give good gifts to the children of God? Or simply, do we trust God? Because God does not hide from us what God's ways are. Unlike James and John, who kind of hedge their bets in order to try and get Jesus to buy in, God reveals for us in Jesus exactly who God is. Reveals that following God is a life dedicated to service, to caring for the needs of people who are without food or who are in financial hardship, visiting people who are sick or imprisoned, standing in solidarity with people in vulnerable positions in opposition to injustice, opposing corruption and falsehood. God promises that following this way of Christ, that building our lives on the foundation of this way of being, allows us to experience here and now in this life the eternal life that God promises us through Jesus. In Jesus, in his life, his ministry, we see the portrait of God's will and God's ways laid out before us. And God says, this is what I want to give you. A life grounded in community, compassion, and grace. And that we also see conversely that anytime someone would seek to create a barrier or a hierarchy or a way of being in the world that says that some people do not belong at the table, that declares that some folks are less worthy of love, care, or compassion, that when people seek to create division based off of where someone is from, what they look like, what they've done, that such actions are against God's desire to draw people into community, for us to share together in the abundant life that God offers. And that compulsion within us to create separation can be so subtle. You know, it's not always in the form of outright hatred or violence or oppression. Sometimes it's just apathy, a lack of care or concern for the needs of others. There was a quote that came through my news feed this week by Gustavo Gutierrez, a priest and professor, that just hit me like a ton of bricks. Gutierrez says, "So you say you love the poor? Name them. Name them." It was like the Holy Spirit jumped off the page at me, grabbed me by the shoulders, and she said to me, "Hey, are you paying attention?" When Jesus tells his disciples to aspire towards being a slave, to place yourself within the community as one who is the least in the community, I think Jesus recognizes that doing so brings us into intimate relationship with the hearts and needs of people who are also on that bottom rung of society, and not necessarily by their own choice. As much as I try to live out the ideals of compassion and care for others, I know how easy it is for me to get caught up in the busyness of my own life, to pour my time and energy into pursuits that I have chosen for myself, gifts that I have told God, this is what I want, this is what I need, this is what you should give me, and to fall off the focus of folks who are outside my immediate circle. And even as I name that, even as I give voice to the way in which I fall short, I know how easy it is for that guilt itself to turn the lens right back on myself, to make even my failing to follow God's will all about me and who I am. But the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came and lived and died and rose again, so we do not need to get caught in the trap of our own sin and guilt and self-centeredness, so that we might be freed to live lives where each day we can proclaim that we are made new, redeemed and made well, so that we can open our arms to share the love and the compassion and the grace that we have witnessed and already received. That we can be entering into this invitation that God puts before us to build up our community in ways that reflect who God is, the ideals that God has for us, for our lives, and for our community. That Jesus has set us free, empowered us with the Holy Spirit, so that we can take up this ministry and mission of inverting the ways of the world around us, caring for the needs of the most vulnerable among us, because they matter, because in them we see the Creator, Jesus, who has claimed each of us through the love that we know that God has revealed in Christ. Amen.